Brother, I'm going on a wild Hulk Hogan. If I like get some moment, I'll make sure it's an explosion. Cause lately I've been seeing stars, trying to kick out of this choke hold. But it's no holds barred, middle finger like I'm Stone Cold.
What is up, ladies and gentlemen? I'm back. It's Way Too Deep with a special unplanned episode of the Slapping Me Wrestling podcast. For the audio listeners, you're going to be like, what, two episodes of Just Way Too Deep this week? Yeah. And for my video guys, from the guys who watch on YouTube, which I thoroughly want to press everyone, even if you mainly listen to the show on audio, whether that be Apple Podcasts or Spotify, we appreciate that here. I want to press you guys, at least go and subscribe to and on a weekly basis like the videos on YouTube. Again, that helps the algorithm. Speaking of YouTube, we have surpassed the 100 subscriber mark, which for a small podcast like this, that's big. The first 100 subscribers is big. So thank you to everyone out there. Again, continue to share with your friends as we continue to grow the podcast. If you're on listening to audio networks live, of course, you know, share that as well. Follow or subscribe or whatever the terminology for the individual platform is, and leave us 5-star reviews. That helps with that algorithm. So this episode solely will just be my initial bad blood reaction, right? So why I'm doing this, why can't I wait till Tuesday when I have Wavy D here, right? And we'll go over this again. We'll get Wavy D's take on some of this on Tuesday. But why can't I wait? Well, because what tends to happen with these PLEs is I tend to have, you know, I watch it and then I have my initial thoughts on Saturday, and then by the time we get to Tuesday, my thoughts have been changed, and so my reaction isn't actually my reaction, right? It's something that where I've had 3-4 days to think about, right? And so with this, what I want to do is I want to give my initial reaction, and then see what Wavy D's reaction is to it on Tuesday, and see if we differ. If the time given in between changes how I view things, I'm going to come out with this. And I mentioned Nerdy D from the Casual Wrestling Show because he's solely a casual fan, right? Where I call myself sort of like a hybrid fan, where I am hardcore, but I also understand the casual point of view, and will consider myself a casual fan in that I'm not necessarily watching wrestling for wrestling's sake, right? What I find is that a lot of times with your casual fans, there is more emphasis on the storytelling outside of, just the normal in the ring stuff. Like there is a cinematic want, casual fans will watch wrestling similarly to how someone would watch a normal television show. And that's how I watch. Even though I do think that the match is important, it's not as important as the overarching sort of storytelling that gets told here, right? With that being said, but I also think I'm a little bit more hybrid in that I understand where the hardcore sort of IWC love of the sport comes from. So I think I bring both perspectives into, and that's why I believe I have a little bit different opinions than both sides, right? Cause I can bring both sides together, and that's what I aim to do here. Right. And so, Nerdy D and the rest of the Casual Wrestling Discord came to this agreement for the most part that last night may have been the best PLE of the year, and quite honestly, probably the best PLE maybe of the last decade is what we're getting at here. What I'm getting from how they reacted to it, and this may be hyperbolic, and I agree with this initial reaction. That PLE breaks a 1 to 10 scale. That's an 11. That's a 12 out of 10, right? And Nerdy D was looking for a word last night because he has like a casual wrestling chart, and like a 1 is just awful. 2 is that I don't remember all of the words that he uses, right? 7, I think, is great. Perfect is 10. Like, so what's bigger than perfect? Like, what's a 12 out of 10? What's the word? And my word for this is that PLE was generational. That PLE was one of a kind, right? You can't replicate that. And it may be hyperbolic, right? But every single segment, every single match in that PLE did what it was supposed to do, right? So we're going to go through each match here, right? And so we start with Punk and we start with Drew McIntyre, right? CM Punk, Drew McIntyre, Hell in a Cell, and we have expectations, and I don't think any of us thought the match would be the way that it was. I think we figured it would be bloodied, you know, bloody stuff, right? This match, though, told a story and culminated an entire year's worth of storytelling. From beginning to end of the feud, you know, we're about to do the slap and meet year end awards, coming probably towards the middle of December, like we did last year. Tentatively, I think it's like December 17th is the last Tuesday before the holidays, and that's tentatively when the year-end awards are going to start or happen. I think that's after Saturday. I think that's the Tuesday after Saturday night's main event, which is when I want to hold this. And I know World's End is on the 28th. I get it. I'm not going to sit here and wait for Tony Khan to put on an end-of-the-year show on the 28th of each year. That show doesn't count for this year, right? It just doesn't count. Well, right? You put in it, like, if you want to be in the slap and meet end of the year awards, get your final show done before the holidays. Because we're going to take a 2-3 week break during the holidays just to let everyone enjoy the holidays, right? So with that being said, man. We got Drew and we got Punk, right? Culmination of a year's worth, right? And I actually made the year-end award categories this year. And I'm sitting here looking at them. Male Superstar of the Year, Feud of the Year, Match of the Year, PLE of the Year. We may have locked in 3 or 4 awards here on this show, right? Feud of the Year. We're going to have James, possibly Cody, on this year. If they can find me an AEW feud for the year of 2024, that's better than McIntyre versus Punk. I don't know what it's going to be. I just don't know what it's going to be. Right? Going into this, expect a lot of Drew and McIntyre in my year-end recap. Right? Because this has been – they locked up Feud of the Year. They locked up Feud of the Year. I can't think of anything better in any company. I just can't. Right? There's nothing else to say about this match that other than the winner didn't matter to me. Right? Going into this match, we were 50-50 split for the most part, and at least for the casual audience that I talked to about. Is Drew going to win? Is Punk going to win? What's next for both of these guys? I don't think that matters. I don't think that mattered going into this. What mattered is CM Punk had to come out of it on top. Here's why I say that. I picked Punk to win this match. here's why I believe Punk had to win this match. This was his first major feud. And Drew's been the aggressor the entire time. Right? So the whole story is Punk comes back last November and it pisses off Drew McIntyre to where Drew McIntyre said, I'm going to hurt you at Rumble, your first match back. I prayed for this to happen, stuff, right? I'm going to bring your family. I'm going to get them involved. I'm going to make it personal, right? I'm going to attack you. I'm going to play the victim and act like you're the bad guy here, CM Punk, right? And so this is your classical good guy, bad guy story, just a little bit twisted, right? And that Drew McIntyre tried to play the victim and said that CM Punk was the bad guy. CM Punk is a danger to the business. CM Punk's going to ruin the company. CM Punk keeps me from winning the world title. And in doing so, you brought out a CM Punk that was willing to go to lengths to prove, no, Drew, you're the bad guy. You made it personal. You brought this upon yourself. You gave me a reason to fight by bringing my family involved in this, right? You had made this personal. You deserve what you're going to get, Drew, right? And so you have Punk. What's next for him? What's next for him? I think both of them take some time off. I think McIntyre's winning the Royal Rumble. I think ultimately leading him to win and get the big world championship pop at WrestleMania. So initially, because this changes the way I book things, right? So initially my thought was Braun Breaker's winning the title, heading into Netflix, and McIntyre versus Braun Breaker may be the Netflix match. And that may work because Braun Breaker's sort of turning into a babyface character. So that's my thinking. My thinking is Braun Breaker will become champion going into the Netflix deal. But see, I don't want Braun Breaker to immediately win the title. And I guess having a four-month reign works where he can get the title in December. I think he wins that December 14th date of Saturday night's main event. I think that's where a lot of things will happen. I think they're going to close the year out at that event with a very interesting, they're going to close it out. They're getting ready for Netflix, right? That first Netflix show is going to be super important. And I think they're going to start that. They're building towards what Netflix is going to be. And we're going to end the year December 14th. In preparation for starting the year on Netflix, right? And Triple H has already started. We know this. If you've watched the documentary, he had last WrestleMania 90% booked going into, coming out of the month of October. I told you guys he's going to book it the same way. He booked 6 months in advance. So WrestleMania, right? He booked from SummerSlam. From WrestleMania to SummerSlam, from SummerSlam to WrestleMania, right? And he books that amount of time in advance, right? He understands that there's realistically there's three big events: Rumble, Mania, and SummerSlam, right? And so he goes from Rumble to Mania. That's about a 3 month gap that he can book through, right? From Mania to SummerSlam, you're talking May, June, July, and typically SummerSlam's end of August. So you talk about a four-month gap there, right? SummerSlam's typically beginning of August. So you're talking May, June, July, and maybe a week or two in August. So about a 3.5-month gap between Mania and SummerSlam. And then you get SummerSlam through to Royal Rumble again, which is, you know, September, October, November, December, and January. It's about a 5-month gap from SummerSlam to Royal Rumble, where most of what happens in between there, not necessarily important, right? Or not that I'm saying it's not important, but my point is he books 5 months, 4 months in advance, right? He's booking main roster like how he booked TakeOver, because TakeOver, you had about 3 TakeOver events a year, right? So you went about 4 months in between TakeOvers. And he was able to book from TakeOver to TakeOver. And the week-to-week is kind of eh. If he can get that week-to-week to where we have the same level of excitement after a Raw as we do after a Bad Blood, Triple H has got this, man. But that's just the first match. And I think this was match of the night. I think this was match of the year. I think this is match of the decade. And I've been watching for exactly a decade. 10 years. 10 years that I've been watching wrestling for. From 2014's Royal Rumble till now. It's about 10 years, right? 10 and a half years. I think this is match of the decade. I can't recall a single match in the last 10 years of watching wrestling that I felt was better than this individual match. And maybe that's hyperbolic. Maybe that's a recency bias. But I don't remember coming out of any match and saying, you can't follow that up. You're right. And when I say match of the decade, I mean a match that will actually be remembered and talked about in the next decade. In 10 years from now, in 2034, we're going to be talking about this match. This match will be remembered. Hey, do you remember that night at Bad Blood where CM Punk beat Drew McIntyre? I thoroughly believe we're going to be talking about this match in 10 years. Thoroughly believe that, right? So how do you follow this up? This is the question. Well, it's easy. You got the crowd excited. You had all the big spots, and now you got to get a downer. You got to calm them down. Nia versus Bayley is the only match on this card that could do that, right? The only match on this card that could do that. And it wasn't a bad match. There was a couple of spots that didn't necessarily go well. I think it was a little bit sloppy, but in the end, it's still, when you watch wrestling the way I watch wrestling, I'm not grading the X's and O's. I'm grading the storytelling. I'm grading how we progress this. Does this want to make me keep watching the feud that I'm watching? And this did exactly that. You, Triple H, you know, I came into this saying, she's got to cash in. I'm tired of Nia Jax. There's got to be a cash in, right? And it was teased, and Nia sort of sat up and stopped it, and Tiffany got scared a little bit. And I was initially upset that the cash in didn't happen. But play this out just one more month. Or two more months. I forgot when they're in Milwaukee. I think Milwaukee, Wisconsin will witness the Tiffany Stratton cash-in because that's her home state. Practically her home city, right? She's cashing in by the end of the year, though. And you got to continue to play this. Now Nia has that seed of doubt. And so now you can play this storyline just a little bit. You can play this out. And this is great, dog. This was great storytelling. It wasn't the best match. The X's and O's weren't there necessarily. But in terms of storytelling, you got something to get me at least to Saudi Arabia. I highly doubt any of these two are in Saudi. I don't imagine Nia Jax will be defending her title in Saudi, though she may be the one they tab. Because I don't necessarily think we'll get Rhea Liv there either. Typically, what Triple H likes to do in his booking is there's 5 matches. You get one of the women's, one of the men's world titles. You get, and obviously we're not getting Cody versus the, we're not getting a world title match at Saudi. We're getting world champion versus world champion because of the announcement that was made that there's going to be the crown jewel champion. That's sort of a one year, you know, so technically you're like, so think of it this way. It's sort of like the Super Bowl. Kara in the casual Discord stated this, right? It's like the Super Bowl. And this is the perfect way to explain it, or similarly to like the Stanley Cup, right? Where if you're a hockey fan, right? Where you play all year long, you get to this one big event, and the Super Bowl makes probably a better comparison because it's not like a best of seven series to win like the Stanley Cup is. But you think about it. You have your best champion on Raw, your best champion on SmackDown. They meet in November, and the winner of that match then gets, right? So now there's a purpose of being world champion, and now it makes Saudi feel like a big-time show, right? It makes Crown Jewel that big event rather than just, oh, this is where they bring in the old-timers. Now they're bringing in old-timers. It's the reason The Rock and Goldberg both showed back up. Right? And we're not for certain that Goldberg's going to be there at the show, but I'm pretty damn certain. We got a match tomorrow night. I'm recording this on Sunday. We got a match tomorrow night on Monday Night Raw between Sami Zayn and Gunther for the title. Obviously, Goldberg's getting involved. Sami Zayn is winning the championship. Sami Zayn will be your world heavyweight champion. And as much as I'm not excited for that, at all, because I don't think it's transitional, fully transitional. It does two things. One, Gunther's championship not working out with the fans the way Triple H probably thought it was going to. He's not connecting with the fan. When you're that world champion, it's different than being an IC champion, right? You could be an IC champion for 666 days and not really connect with the fans as much. But when you're the head guy, when you're the big guy, right? And I don't necessarily like that they went the Sami Zayn method, because having Sami beat Gunther twice for two different titles in the same year is quite a thing. But it does two things. So it takes the belt off of Gunther because of Goldberg. Goldberg's going to interfere in some way, shape, or form, right? Because of Goldberg. That sets up a bigger match at Saudi, where Saudi gets Goldberg. And he gets the spear on Gunther, and Gunther can beat Goldberg and maybe reset this thing. But it also allows for Bron Breakker to come in, and this is where it gets a little cloudy with that heel face thing, is that Bron Breakker and Sami Zayn are both leaning towards being baby faces. So how does Bron Breakker step in? Is Bron Breakker the next guy? Is it like an open challenge that Sami Zayn issues that has Bron Breakker win at Saturday night's main event? How does Bron Breakker get into the title picture if he's not facing the bad guy, right? But I think Bron Breakker will – it's easier for him to beat Sami Zayn because that's – right? So this whole story sort of plays out where, like, Gunther's IC champion, Sami beats him. Bron Breakker beats Sami for IC title, right? Well, then – Gunther wins world title, Sami beats him, right? And so I'm not a big fan of that optic. But I think it's the best play going into Netflix. I do. I think it's the best play going into the Netflix era. I'm also thinking of it this way. What if Gunther does get speared by Goldberg and Goldberg interferes and it's a DQ, right? And but see, you have to take the belt off Gunther because Saudi, because my picture going into it was, okay, well, Gunther says, well, screw this. I'm champion. I'll face Goldberg for the championship at Saudi. But see, you can't do that because you got to have Gunther versus Cody. And so I think Gunther versus Sammy's the better match there. Probably. I don't know. I also feel this whole thing sort of gets – Cody's been removed from the story, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But Yeah. So that's the first two matches, right? We then get Finn and Damian, which from an X's and O perspective, solid match. But from a storyline perspective, what a match this was. This expands on this, you know, we were brothers, right? This is that we were brothers and now we're butting heads, right? Type story, right? There was a little bit of everything for everybody. And this is what AEW claimed to try to do. But instead, what they did was they just fed us and fed the fan base the same bullshit between four different matches, or five or six or 18 different matches, right? And all the AEW fans are like, oh, Wrestle Dream next Saturday is going to be a better PLE pay-per-view. Are you sure about that? You certain that you can beat this, right? You get an extension of this story. Damian versus Finn will probably finish this up at Survivor Series. Rhea versus Liv for the championship. You know, Rhea came out and she looked badass. Her gear was badass. That's great. Here's the thing with Rhea, right? We do this thing on the casual net wrestling show. Where Nerdy D does this thing, Baddie of the Night, and Wavy D for the most part helps pick the people we vote on, and then we vote as a community, right? And Rhea's typically not involved in a lot of this. Rhea doesn't typically win. And here's my thing with Rhea. I think Rhea's beautiful. Rhea Ripley is absolutely beautiful. Absolutely. Like, right? Until she gets in the character. When Rhea Ripley is just Demi Bennett, you know, on Instagram at the beach or doing these photo shoots, and Rhea Ripley isn't wrestling in character. Beautiful. Absolutely. The tattoos sort of throw me off a little bit, but I'm not anti-tattoo. Right? What happens is she gets to a PLE, and she gets to WWE's makeup department, and they make her look like the lead singer of Motionless in White. I think his name's Chris Motion. I could be wrong. They make her look like that. And they, like, she was, like, pale white in the face because of the makeup. The makeup's what throws me off. Because the rest of her, right, was fine last night. If they just didn't pound on 18 pounds of white makeup and made her look pasty as shit in the face and then colored her with all the other shit, that aesthetic throws a lot of people off, I think. And it also, but that aesthetic also puts people in, right? So it's you're battling two different lines, right? But this match told the story you needed to tell. It accomplished storytelling. Was it the best match? No. It accomplished story. Now let me tell you something. Liv Morgan, fantastic seller. Wavy D's been saying that for a couple months now. Liv Morgan's probably the best seller in the women's division. Her stock over the last, let's say 12 months to me, Liv Morgan went from, like, when I looked at and thought of Liv Morgan to me went from, like, lower mid card to, like, yeah, she's a main event superstar in this company, and it's because of how they presented her, right? And so you get Dom up in the shark cage, and everyone wants to sit here and be like, oh, they didn't lock it. Guys, stop digging in so deep. Stop looking at the things, the small, minute details, right? When Corey Graves says he picked the lock, just go with it, dude, because that's what the story they're trying to produce. Should they have put a lock on there? Probably. But let's just go with it, right? He's in the air. He opens the door. He picked the lock, right? That's the story we're trying to tell, right? And then he's sitting up there watching Liv get beat up, right? And Rhea's coming over by the cage, and maybe Dom's thinking, like, I'm gonna make a play. I'm gonna fall on her or whatever, right? And instead, his foot gets tangled up in the chain. Now, was this a stupid spot? Yes, absolutely. I will 110 percent say, you know what, this was a really dumb thing to try to attempt. But guess what? It worked out. If it didn't work out, I'd still say it was stupid. This was stupid, right? But it worked out. He was hung up like a pinata. That's the visual they want to show. He was getting beat the fuck up. And that's when the whole reason this whole thing happened. Why was the door open? Why did Dom try to get out of the cage? Why was he hung up? Why was there a chain in the cage that he could get stuck? What was all there to set up the story point that Liv's got new muscle. Liv doesn't need Raquel anymore. Or excuse me, Rhea. You know, Judgment Day doesn't need Rhea because we got Raquel. We got Raquel Rodriguez, who has history being tag team champions with Liv, who has history against Rhea, right? So it's all playing in a circular storytelling, right? And they're doing a very good job of bringing things that connect together and making things that are logically placed, right? So was the match a 10 out of 10 for this match? No, but the storytelling was 10 out of 10, right? So we're four matches in, and maybe Punk, this is why I say match of the night, Punk and Drew accomplished match of the night. But from storytelling perspective, we got like a 10 out of 10 there. We got like a 9 out of 10 in Rhea, and Bayley and Nia. We got, you know, an 8, 9 out of 10 storytelling from Finn and Damian. You get a 10 out of 10 here with Rhea and Liv. And then we get to our main event. And it's slow, methodical, right? Roman looks good. And Cody Rhodes is the champion. But I made this comment in the Discord that I was live watching the match. Right? I was live reacting to in the casual wrestling community Discord. I was live reacting with the rest of the group that was there. And I made the comment. Right? Because everyone was making the comment about how like Roman looks like a god, this, that, and the other. And I said, guys, Cody may be champion, but Roman's still the face of the company. It's obvious. There is a pecking order. That world champion prop may be around the waist of Cody Rhodes. But when Roman Reigns is on the TV screen, he is the top dog in the business. And I even made the comment here, and this again may be hyperbolic. When Roman Reigns is an active competitor, when he's on the show, WWE's just better. SmackDown is better. And I know we sit and we have this argument of who's the greatest of all time. And I don't like this because different eras have different representation of how wrestling is represented, right? So the Hogan era was different than the Flair era, which was bigger. Different than the Attitude Era with Austin and Rock, which is different than the current era we have now with Roman. I think we can lock in Roman Reigns as the greatest of all time. Y'all, that might be a hot take. Roman Reigns is the greatest professional wrestler of all time. From a sports entertainment aspect, from a wrestling aspect, bro fits in any generation of wrestler. You put Roman Reigns in the Attitude Era, he fits. You put Roman Reigns in a Hogan's era, he fits. You put Roman Reigns in Flair's era, the early 70s, I think he would fit. Because y'all understand, since at least 1930, the business has really been about storytelling. The business has always been character-based. Since about 1930, 1940. Right? Right. And the technical stuff mattered, but when bookers realized in the 30s and 40s that the technical stuff didn't matter, and you created characters that drew people to pay money to watch your show, it's all pre-scripted, so the idea is to make good stories. And they will come and watch. When that began to sell, wrestling became less of a sport and more of a circus, more of an entertainment form. And when that really didn't click, And it took off in the 80s with wrestling getting on TV and McMahon expanding the TV presentation of wrestling, right? And so you put Roman Reigns in any era that's entertainment-based, he's the greatest that's ever done it. He's the biggest draw I think we've ever possibly seen. I think he's better than Austin. I think he's better than Rock. He's had a longer career. He's, you know, the 4 years that he just had at the top of the game as champion was essentially the same length of Rock's career before he went to Hollywood. Same with Austin. Right? Austin was really at the peak. Stone Cold Steve Austin really peaked 97, 98, 99, 2000, started going down around 01. Right? So you're talking 4-5 years with Austin and Rock. Roman Reigns is better in that he has longer longevity. He's approaching 5 years of the same gimmick, of the same character, and changing and adapting all of that. Roman Reigns is the greatest pro wrestler, sports entertainer of all time. I'm just going to go ahead and make that claim. I'm going to stick by it. Roman Reigns is the GOAT. He's the greatest of all time. He's better than Cena. He's better than Flair. He's better than Hogan. He's better than Rock, and he's better than Austin. Name me someone better than Roman Reigns. You just can't. I'm sorry. Right? So you get to this match, and Cody Rhodes is playing sidekick. Right? Cody Rhodes was playing sidekick in a story that's not about him. And so I'm glad WWE utilized Cody Rhodes as little as possible in this, because this is about the family. This is still family business here. And Cody Rhodes is just here to give him something to do and to keep that tension between Roman and Cody, right? And just when you thought Solo was going to, and Jacob were going to win, the new bloodline, the Tongans come out. Right, just when you think that the numbers were against Roman and Cody, right, and they come out perfectly. The Tongans come out in a hoodie and sweatshirt and pants, and there's a third one, and we don't know who the fuck it is at the moment, but everyone assumes, oh, maybe they found a new member of the new bloodline, and then the guy super kicks the two Tongans. He takes it off. It's Jimmy Uso. Jimmy Uso was back. We have all been played by Rikishi. Jimmy Uso is there. And now we back, because Jimmy's better than Jay. Let's just be honest. Jimmy's the better Uso. Right? Jay has the title now, and Jay has the singles run. But Jimmy's the guy who really, you know, I respect Jimmy, man. He's loyal to his tribal chief. His brother ran off. Jay ran off and tried to do a coup. And he ran off and tried to do things by himself. He thought he was bigger than the tribal chief. And guess what? Roman's going to have to forgive Jay for this. He's going to have to extend the hand of grace and say, bro, for the purpose of putting Solo and the new bloodline in their place, we need you, right? But we got Jimmy back. And Roman and Cody end up winning this match. But really the lasting scene we get is Jimmy and Roman in the ring, and they embrace, and he's back, and he's willing to do whatever it takes for his tribal chief. And we end the show, or so we think. You know, the new bloodline start to attack Cody. Jimmy's like, bro, what are we doing? Roman's like, no, this is a one-time thing. Well, we just got done with the match. That was it. And Jimmy's like, no, we got to help him. Whatever you say, though, big dog, whatever you say, tribal chief. And Roman said, all right, let's go kick some ass one more time. And they run off the new bloodline. And then the Rock's music plays. And the Rock stands on the stage. And he's staring down Cody and Roman and Jimmy. And he does the 1, 2, 3, and then like a slice at the throat. I don't know what this means, and I can't wait to hear what Rock's got to say. Right? And that's how we end the show. And we end the show with a 12 out of 10 PLE. A generational, once-in-a-lifetime PLE that I don't think WWE will be able to replicate. in terms of they've created five matches with five stories that could go down the middle. We had no idea what was going to happen. We thought Jimmy was not coming back. We didn't know when the fuck The Rock was coming back. We didn't know Raquel was coming back. Right? We had zero idea what was going to happen. And in an age of predictability and dirt sheets, Triple H accomplished something nearly impossible. That was creating a 12 out of 10 event where anything and anything could happen, and we did not know it was going to happen. And true, legitimate surprises happened. And it was entertaining, and it was fun to watch. This was a once-in-a-lifetime generational PLE that I think Triple H, he won't be able to replicate it, but he has a formula that works now. And if he can continue to do this, WWE's back, baby. WWE's back, right? SmackDown immediately better with Jimmy, Roman, and The Rock in the picture. SmackDown's immediately better. We may potentially have Goldberg on Raw fighting Gunther. Immediately better. Right? The main roster shows, these two shows just got immediately better. There's a revamped push towards now building the best WrestleMania and beating WrestleMania 40 and having 41 be better, right? And if that's the way Triple H continues the book, we may have 3-4 months in between these bigger shows of that sort of lull, and the stories may take forever. But when we get that payoff, it means something. And so if I get 3-4 payoffs where Triple H busts the loadout at SummerSlam Mania and in a push towards that in the end of the year, I'm for it. I'm fine, right? We got to sort of take Triple H off of what the quote-unquote life support. We got to give him back his props. Still not better than Shawn Michaels to me, because I think Shawn Michaels is more consistent. But Triple H, he's number two. He's number two where he needs to be, right? So all the things I said about Triple H not knowing what he's doing, and he's predictable, and he's not creative, that's going to be 8 months out of the year. But we know at least 4 months out of the year, we're going to get something big from Triple H. You can't convince me this isn't PLE of the year, right? So we're going to run our award shows a little bit different. You know, last year I ran it and I said, you know, bring your three, you know, candidates. Each of us can have three candidates each. And then who actually won? No, we're going to want to do this a little bit differently. Just tell me who your winner is. That's how this is going to happen. I know I'm going to be there. Wavy D is going to be there. Junkyard James is going to be there. Maybe potentially Cody will be there. And that's all we'll talk about that episode to end the year. But man, on Tuesday show, we'll readdress this topic on Tuesday show. And I'll get Wavy D's thoughts, and maybe we'll recover some things maybe I missed that maybe he picked up, right? But I just had to get my initial thoughts out on this PLE. Greatest I've ever seen in the 10 years that I've been watching wrestling from start to finish. Greatest PLE. And being that it wasn't a big four event, and being that typically these October pay-per-views that WWE typically throws tend to just be throwaways to get you to Survivor Series. And this thing came out and well exceeded my expectations. This thing is the greatest PLE of all time, with probably, or not of all time, but of the last decade, of the year, match of the year, probably superstar of the year here. Who knows? So much happened here. Great night. WWE did fantastic. And then we get to, like, I'm watching the Nerdy D post show, and one of the commenters, oh, Kevin Owens attacked Cody Rhodes. Well, this immediately takes Cody out of the storyline. Bloodline, and now just becomes the Bloodline. Cody Rhodes can go face Kevin Owens. And that takes Cody out of that. But gives Cody Rhodes an actual heel competitor that feels like a dangerous threat. Right? Perfect. Rock's cutting promos, leaving the arena, putting them on Instagram. Basically stated, when I'm ready to tell you what I'm feeling, I'll tell you what I'm feeling. Right? And so keeping us in suspense on when he may show up. Is he showing up? Bro, this Friday is here in Greenville, South Carolina. I can't afford to go. I wish I could. But if The Rock shows up, you don't understand, dog. You do not understand. I want to be at that event so bad. Right? But what a night. What a night. What a night. But that's all I got for you. Let me know what y'all think about Bad Blood. This is your special Sunday episode for you. Y'all enjoy the rest of your week, your rest of your Sunday, and I'll see y'all on Tuesday. Me and Wavy D will be back with another episode of the Slap and Meat Wrestling Podcast. Brother, I'm going on a wild Hulk Hogan. If I like get some moment, I'll make sure it's an explosion. Cause lately I've been seeing stars, trying to kick out on his chore court. But it's no hope.